Listener production.
Welcome back. I hope you are well. It's Cliff, and this is Everything Southwest on Listener, another local legend. What I want to do is find the story behind the story we know, the person behind the persona, if you will. And the lady who's with me today is an artist. It's an interesting reason why she called her art studio Checkmate Design and Art Studio, Spencer Street in Bunbury, Melissa Weston. Hello.
Thanks, Cliff. Hi.
That was just me applauding. We have no budget, so that was just me.
It was lovely. Thank you.
It was good. How are you?
Personal applause. I'm very well.
Thank you for doing this too. We need to get rid of the elephant in the room. Should we do that first
Let's
off?
Let's do that. Well, you should always do that first.
Okay, here it is. Melissa has helped me a lot with my art. Melissa is exhibiting some of my art for Walls of Fame, digital art, and you were kind enough to hold an exhibition night for me year before, whatever, and you've helped me a lot. So just in case someone's going, oh, he's only got Melissa on there because he wants to give a plug to his art. No, not the case. You are a fascinating creature. Did that cover it? I think that's covered.
I think that should do it.
I think so. How do you feel about digital art? Some people go, oh, no, that's not proper art. It's not pencil or ink or paint.
Well, it's the definition of art is basically using your imagination and creativity. And so it doesn't matter what art sector you are, you're using your imagination to create a piece of artwork, whether you do that on a computer, whether you do that with a pencil, whether you do that with a paintbrush, whether you do it with a chisel, whether you do it with a dance move. I mean, it's the arts. And it's 2023. Mm. There's so much amazing digital artwork out there. Mm. I believe that just you shouldn't, when people say it's not art, I say, well, it is, and I do get some people that will come in and say, oh, that's not art. And I'm like, well, yes, it is.
Do you know the line that I've used a couple of times, especially with AI art, artificial intelligence, where you can put a prompt in with a photo and it creates something completely different? You know, there are some people who are so head up bum. Oh, no, that's not proper. You're stealing. Shut up. I figure if someone has taken a banana and taped it to a wall, and that sold for $120,000 and was about man's inhumanity to, I don't know, then the argument about, you know, that's not art, I think is redundant.
Yeah, well, it is, because art is a personal thing. Mm. You know, I have a lot of artwork, and I have across so many different mediums from all different price ranges, and I've got over 50 artists represented in the gallery, and everyone who walks in, it's a personal thing. Mm. You know, some person, you might look at a paint and you don't like that at all, that style or something. The next person can walk in and love it and want it because it's such a personal thing. Mm. And digital art is, you're still creating, you're still using your imagination, you're still creating something. And I don't see a problem. I've seen some amazing digital art, you know, that it's not even on a canvas. They're just using it on the screen. Mm. And you can go to, they've got digital art museums now, galleries.
That's right. I figure it's the product, not the production thereof.
Yes.
But, you know, anyway. So, an interesting reason why you called the gallery Checkmate Design and Art Studio. You were a chess, you don't like the word, but you were a chess protege at about 3.5.
Yeah, around 3.5, 4. So, I started playing with the, my father came home. He was he's also an artist, so we used to watch him draw all the time, so he'd always draw. And he was also a travelling salesman who used to travel around the world. And one year he went to Rome, and he came across, and he loved playing chess, so he came across this amazing, beautiful marble slab of a chessboard with these pieces that were made out of pewter, but they were of the ancient Rome kings and queens.
Cool.
I actually bought in a couple of pieces you can look at a bit later.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So I can show you why I was so fascinated with it. And so as a little girl, when he placed this beautiful chess, it was on beautiful brass legs and it was a big chessboard, I just used to play with all the little pieces. I was just fascinated with it. So, and he was a very strict European father. Not only was he a strict European father, he was also a Jehovah Witness.
Right.
So we weren't allowed to watch much TV. We lived in a very strict household, and he wanted us to learn how to play chess. So he started teaching laws, and I'm the youngest of four girls.
Mm.
So I started, yeah, I would just play with these chess pieces all day long and make moves. And then back, as it was the 70s, my mum would always hold dinner parties for the businessmen.
Fondue.
As they do. And before I'd go to bed, my father would say, oh, one more game of chess with one of his business associates that play chess. And, you know, and he used to get his business associates from coming over for dinner. And just as a little, you know, game and a laugh.
A party trick.
A party trick, basically. and he'd say, come, Melissa, play, you know, you show them how to play chess. And I would beat them. Yeah, it was just, I think it's just a matter of the fascination. So growing up, all I did was play chess and draw, basically. So my studio was always going to be called Checkmate. It was always going to have to have something to do with chess.
Mm.
And I was always going to have to do something with art.
Mm.
Hence why Checkmate.
Grab the pieces out of your bag.
Yes.
So that I can have a look at those while I put something else to you. Look, I'm wondering, and I think I know what you're going to say to this, whether everybody has art in them of some sort. Is that the case? Because
of course
I can't draw. I can't take a blank canvas. I did do a Pollock inspired piece, and I was working on another one on my holiday, but I hated it, so I've painted over it.
Yeah.
But whether it be dance or something else, has everyone got art in them?
Yes. No matter what you do, you know, you might not feel that you can draw, and people say to me, they come to our life drawings, I can only draw a stick man.
Mm.
Well, I can assure you they're drawing after a couple of hours.
Mm.
I believe if you practice enough at anything, you can achieve.
Is that the king or a bishop?
No, that one's the bishop.
Oh, look at that. That's heavy too.
Yeah, it's pewter.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
They're old and worn. As you can see, they've been played a lot. I need to get some more little felt bits on the bottom of them.
Yeah.
Totally worn. So one side, instead of black and white, if people can picture this, one is bronze, one side is bronze, and one side is silver. And pewter, of course, has all those elements in it. So
oh,
now we get
look
to
at
the
that.
Now we
so
get
is
to
this
the kings
this, is this the set that you use when you're playing?
Yes, this is personal.
How often do you play chess?
When I can get someone to play with me.
Oh, I'd love to give it a shot. I'm not much good, so you'd probably be. Is that the king? I think it is.
Yeah. Yep. And then, of course, then there's the horse.
Oh, the horsey. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one. Do you know one of the things that I like?
And there's the little pawn.
Oh, that's the pawn.
And then
the
that's the castle. The castle's even got windows, and I'm used to imagine being a little princess up on top of the castle.
Who would, Rapunzel.
Yeah.
You hang on to that one, because I got a fistful here. That's beautiful. We'll have to have a game one day.
Yes.
We've been threatening that
so
for a
I'm in
while.
Possession of this chessboard now.
Magnificent. So let's come back to art again with
yes.
kids. Your kids' classes have gone absolutely gangbusters.
Oh, they're wonderful.
And again, have you found I'll use the term, have you found a kid who's come along who can't get into artistic things of any sort?
No. I believe because the children love art, that's what they come for. And any Labriola, our resident artist and teacher, she is amazing with the children. She's amazing with the adults too. But she'll teach the children like she teaches an adult.
Mm.
So not only are they having fun, but they're learning the right way how to draw, you know, the right paintbrush to use for what stroke, how to mix your colours, but in the process having fun. You know, and Annie's been teaching for over 20 years. She was teaching in New South Wales for most of that until she came back. I'm just lucky enough she came and found me, and I found her because she's amazing.
She's a terrific artist. Yes. I love some of the 3D stuff that she does that's just not paint on canvas. There's one I think that you've still got at the studio, which is a lily that's...
Oh, yeah. It's magnificent. And she does a lot of mixed media too. Mm. So she instead of painting a lantern, she'll use glass to make the lantern on the painting, on the canvas.
So, look, I don't know what's happening with art classes at schools or whatever, but I figure you have made art, whether people want to be an artist or whether they want to see it, made it accessible. Again, quick sideways jump for me. I love Bunbury Art Gallery. I go in every now and then. But I think an art gallery has got a mystique about it, and people might go, "Oh no, I could no, no, I won't go in there because I won't understand it, or yeah. or you know, it's not for me." But you've made it accessible. Was that in your mind when you opened up?
Yes,
Checkmate?
Yes, I was always going to make it more, you know, accessible, and because I've got a very eclectic style anyway as an interior designer, and when I used to paint for my clients, so I've always done my paintings through commission, and I used to design and paint around them for them personally. And when they used to come and pick them up, I always made sure I had all paintings throughout the room, all different, you know, ones. And I'd say, "I'll be back in a sec," and I'd keep an eye. And when I came back, if they turned, they'd say, "Oh, I love this one." I'll say, "Good, because that one is yours." And I was right every time. So I've got a 100% track record on producing the right piece of art for the right person.
Why do people get so stuffy and so head up bum with art? So, some.
I don't know. I never have been. I'm not, you know, like anyone can be an art critic, like anyone. And most people are. You know, they'll come into the gallery, "I don't like that because that's not that." And it's like, yep. Once again, it's a personal thing, art. So, you know, you can criticise any art you want, but someone else is going to come in there and love it. So I don't understand the critics when it comes to, you know, what's, you know. I understand execution. You know, I understand that a piece of artwork should be executed correctly. And I understand why some art is valued at this low point and other art is valued at a higher point. And it's not how long it's taken you to paint that painting. And I get that a lot with artists, because one of the hardest things to do is actually value your own piece of artwork. It's very difficult. It's the hardest thing for an artist to do, because they don't know what their worth is. And, you know, so it's kind of like you don't take into consideration, this took me weeks and weeks to paint. Someone could do the same painting and take a day.
Yes.
So you can't take that into fact. You know, it's about how it's executed, you know.
I found that when I went to the National Gallery and the National Portrait Gallery in Canberra, especially in the National Gallery. There's stuff there that I didn't understand. They've got original Picassos, and you can look at it and go, "Oh, that's Picasso. That's an original." But I don't understand it, especially. They've got original Lichtensteins, and they've got, like, the thing that I wanted to go and see was Blue Poles. I always want to say Sidney Pollack, but he was the film director, but Jackson Pollock. Now, I don't fully understand that. I think I can understand why it was so revolutionary at the time, but there's a lot of people just, there was such a furor when Gough Whitlam bought it. It's worth now, I think, about 26 or 27 million bucks or something. But there are still people look at it and go, "That's rubbish. I don't like that at all." What is your critic's eye like?
My critic's eye, I think it's got to be easy on the eye. You know, like looking at anything as an interior designer as well, things have got to be easy on the eye. So you've got to get, you don't want too much negative space. And when it comes to artwork, you've got to have your light and dark. And it's got to be proportioned correctly because, you know, otherwise it won't work. It's not going to be, you know, it might not be your cup of tea, basically. You might not love that painting. You might not want to hang it in your house, but you can appreciate it.
Yes.
So, look, I have to admit, like, if when someone, you know, I've seen these white on white on white big canvases.
Yeah. And a red dot in the middle of it.
And they're going for something ridiculous, you know. No, I don't agree with that. That to me is just, you know, is it, you know, that's when you start questioning, you know. But once again, I know that when you're judged by judges, they judge you on your brushstroke, because your brushstroke is like your fingerprint. Okay, and this is why they can really get down to the nitty gritty to find a fraud, you know. So someone's copied a Van Gogh or something and they've tried to say it's a Van Gogh. It comes down to the brush stroke. It person copying that would have to be so perfect with their brush stroke of how Van Gogh used his brush stroke. So basically, that's it. Your brush stroke is your fingerprint.
Well, that's it. I had never thought of that. I've watched documentaries on art heists and art frauds, and they've got the real one and then they've got the fraud, and you go, I have no idea. They look exactly the same. But I suppose the trained eye is going to get it. You mentioned Van Gogh. I went and saw the Van Gogh exhibition in Perth a couple of months ago, which was quite magnificent. Who are the other artists who really get your attention?
Oh, I'm a Picasso fan.
Mm.
I mean, I like quite a lot of artists, you know, but the reason I like Picasso is I love surrealism because that's kind of my style too when I paint.
Mm.
And he makes it, I love his bullfight series.
Mm.
So I'm more into more of his drawing series and his ink, not necessarily his paintings in general. I love his bullfight series. I love the fact that you can tell exactly what it is, but it's so out of shape.
Yeah, there was a lady I know who was an artist, really good artist, and I remember asking her about some stuff, and I think Picasso might have come into it. It's like, well, why? Why is there an eye there and, you know, her mouth is over here and there's a breast down there? And I remember Laura said to me, she said, any artist worth their salt could take XYZ and paint it or draw it and make it exactly look like what we think it's supposed to look like or what it does look like. But then you go, okay, well, the lady has got two eyes and she's got a nose and she's got two breasts. Who says they have to be where they're supposed to be in our mind? Picasso took them and changed all of that around. Is that your thinking of why he was so revolutionary?
Yeah, it's cubism art.
Mm.
And you've seen my mural in the back and I love to, and that was just trying to, you know, show the kids and people that just using different shapes and colours, you can still tell a story if you put them together correctly.
Mm.
So, yes, an eye could be up there and an eye could be down there. Why is the eye up there, though? You know, what's it looking at? Is it looking at something else? Is it, you know, what's it thinking about? Mm. So it's like the love story that I've done on my mural out in the back studio. You know, why is there an eye just up there? Because she's being watched, you know. So you've got to read. You've got to look at it. Yes, and it is quite. I love it. I love to look at a painting and always see something different.
Mm.
That is my kind of artwork.
Mm.
Whereas it's a talking, you know, where people can sit around and you can actually see something different in the painting all the time.
Mm.
And you could it's a talking piece.
Mm.
So it's people sitting around. They want to talk about the painting because, you know, otherwise if it's, you know, that's my kind of artwork. That's what I like. And some people just like just to have pretty flowers on the wall to remind them of something.
Yeah.
You know, just to freshen their house up and it's pretty. Mm. And so that's what I'm saying. If it's, yeah.
If I could get Van Gogh's sunflowers for my office, I'd be pretty happy with that. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't. I don't see
don't
that.
Think so.
I know you're doing a bit of reno and doing a bit of redecorating in here at the moment throughout the studio, but I can't see them forking that out for your budget in here.
What's worth about $200 million or something like that?
I can't see it.
I've got a print on a magnet at home on the fridge. I could bring that in. That's about it. Do you know, I wonder why Bunbury is not screaming to the treetops outside of Bunbury about our street art. I love it.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I mean, you can go, I believe you can go to the tours and you can get the little map,
you can,
you know,
yes,
where you can go around. And I have to admit, some of the attendees that came on Saturday night to our life drawing event, they loved their street art because we actually had a street artist in who was taking part in
from Norway.
Yeah, he works, he's over in Norway. He lives in Norway now. He's not originally from Norway. So, he was even commenting on, you know, that he knows about the street art and that, but not everyone does know about it. The problem is, I think, Cliff, no one has ever really looked at Bunbury as an art scene, like Margaret River or Busselton or Dunsborough. Why? I don't know.
Mm.
But
I mean,
you know,
I mean, we've got some terrific. There's Stirling Street Art Centre. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. The art gallery, and then, you know, at Checkmate as well.
Yep.
But when you have a look at the street art, I think it's magnificent.
It is.
And it gives the place a character.
It does. Mm. I mean, art does. I mean, it makes you want to look, makes you want to go for a walk, makes you want to, you know, just stand there and look at something cool that's been painted. And a lot of it's very different, so which is great because you're getting a mixture of different kind of street art.
Mm.
And everyone should do it. Everyone should just grab the map.
Yep.
From the tourist of the information board and centre and go for a walk.
Mm. Some
enjoy.
Of it's just brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so With Checkmate, you've got a lot of kids coming in now, and I use that term again,
yes.
To do the school classes in pottery and drawing and painting and various other bits and pieces. But what about Melissa Wesson? How often do you create something? You're like the Sparky whose lights don't work and the plumber whose taps drip.
Or the mechanic, you know, where, you know, he's always got a problem with his car.
Yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't have time because I'm busy running it. Look, I get so much pleasure out of seeing, especially with the kids. I love it because, you know, we're very inclusive with our classes. So, you know, we might have children with autism.
Mm.
We might have children with ADHD. We might have, you know, children that are just really shy and you know, are scared to try something new or get scared when they walk in, you know. Mm. It's like looking at little kids when they first start school or something and they're holding on to their mum's leg and they don't want to go. And it's and I love the fact they say, do you mind if I just stay for a few minutes? I said, of course. I said, you can stay as long as you like if you want to sit over there. I said, but I guarantee you, you'll be leaving within 5 minutes.
Oh, because the kid's sick of them?
No, because
they don't need them.
They don't need them there. And they don't. They're kind of like, I'm all right, Mum. I'm happy.
Mm.
And sure enough, the parents leave.
Mm.
You know. So it's because Annie gets them into just creating, and that's what they want to do.
Mm.
So their mind is totally focused on what they're doing in front of them. And I love the pottery class. I mean, look, I've got Davida Palmer. Davida Palmer has been teaching pottery for over 40 years.
Yes.
I mean, you can't get more experience. She hates me saying this, but she's the queen of pottery.
Oh, I love some of her stuff.
She is.
Truly
do. She's so good at teaching. Everyone who comes to her pottery classes, because she lets them use their imagination too. So it's not just, here, make a cup like this, you know, or make a saucer, or we're going to make a bowl. Oh, no. These come out so artistic. Use your imagination, you know. And Deb James was taught by Davida, and Deb's been practicing teaching for years.
Mm.
It's like my resin teacher as well, Lois. She's in her 70s.
Yeah.
She's been teaching for years.
No end to it. If you have an artistic bent, there's no end. I mean, Picasso was still making children at 93, I think, and paintings as well.
Yeah.
So it doesn't end. It's not finite. And I suppose you're going to change along the way.
Yeah, and a lot of changes, and that's it. But just come and give it a go, because people don't. When I love seeing their face, especially when they pick up their resin or their pottery or something, and they can't believe what they've done.
Mm.
But even on a life drawing, they say, "I can only draw stickmen," and they leave. They're so proud of themselves that they could draw, you know, something. And all it is practice.
Yep.
You know, and it's just it's trial and error.
Got to love it. And if you don't like it, paint over it or throw it away.
Done that many a time.
Oh, yes, indeed. Haven't we all, for
sure? We've always got a bit angry with a canvas at times. I don't know any artist that hasn't. And if you haven't, well, hey, give it a go.
Get into the passion. That's it. Yeah. Hey, lovely to talk to you. Thank you for giving me a little bit of the story of Checkmate Design and Art Studio, 45 Spencer Street in Bunbury. And I am going to look for some of your stuff on the walls. I want you to see if you can create some stuff, because I've seen some of your drawings terrific.
I still haven't finished the oil painting when we went first into lockdown. Mm. It's hanging on the wall, and I just look at it every now and then and go, I will finish you one day.
One day.
You never know, Cliff.
Thank you so much indeed. Melissa Weston, my guest, for local heroes, local legends. There's so many people around the whole of the Southwest, not just Bunbury, who have got some terrific stories, and you will be hearing them right here on Listener.
A Listener production.